In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Everyone who is born again, claim that promise, and will experience it, the fullness of joy, and the pleasures forever more. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more wondering, no more faith. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. It's a great privilege to stand at the bedside of someone who you have every assurance is going to experience that and watch them go. In all my years of pastoring, it's only happened to me once. I've been to visit people a few minutes, hour or two before they passed into eternity. I've come after they went. But God gave me the privilege one time so far of being right there. It was my own mother. Bye, Mom. Say hi to Dad. And enjoy Jesus, because he will fill your the beauty and the vision of heaven will fill your mind and your heart and all that you are for the rest of eternity. We'll be there, but enjoy it now. Bye. Well, tonight we've been singing about the joy of godly living. The theme runs deeply through the scripture, the theme of joy, from beginning to end. For example, the word joy, just the word joy, not any of its derivatives, 41 times in the Psalms, just quoted one of them, 28 times in Isaiah, and on it goes. Happiness tends to be fleeting. Happiness depends upon temporal factors like circumstances or other people, what's happening around us. But joy, on the other hand, is a true contentment. True contentment that comes from our faith in the Lord. It's internal. It's not dependent upon circumstances. And it's everlasting. True joy is everlasting. Jesus made an incredible promise to his disciples. And I want you to see it, so if you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 15. And let your eyes go down to verse 11. Jesus said to his disciples in that great upper room discourse before he went to the cross to make all of this possible, he said to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus said to his disciples, and consequently to all of us, who belong to him or his disciples, it's possible for us to have joy deep in our souls and a fullness of joy that is not possible to have in any other way. Jesus' desire for you and for me, really his commitment to you and to me, is to have that kind of true contentment and everlasting joy our experience in our deepest heart. A joy, as we said, that's not dependent upon the circumstances, but that comes from him. He's committed to that. He said, I've told you, I want this. This is for you. You can trust me. You can bank on it. The world, of course, tries to conjure up joy with all kinds of things and all kinds of experiences that it thinks will give us that joy. We could wax long and eloquent about the way the world tries to conjure up joy within us. But at best, that joy only lasts for a brief time. And the world's pleasures, what the world thinks of as joy, afterwards usually leaves a taste of emptiness and frustration. And as a warning, the more the church adopts the ways and thinking of the world, as seems to be happening so much in these days in our own nation and in the church in America, the more the church adopts the ways and the thinking of the world to try to bring joy, it has the same effect. At best, temporary and leaving an unsatisfying aftertaste. This is not the joy that Jesus promised. He said, my joy will be in you and your joy will be full. Well, the first 10 verses of John 15, Jesus tells his disciples how they can experience that kind of joy. The kind that he brings, the joy that lasts and lasts and does not leave a bad aftertaste. So let's take a brief trip down through these first 10 verses of John 15 and see what he said. Because remember, verse 11, these things I have just spoken to you. I've done that. I've spoken these things to you so that you may have joy. Well, what did he say? That we might have joy. Let's, for a few moments, take a look at the first 10 verses of John 15. I'm just, rather than read the whole passage, I just want to go down through it verse by verse. In verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. What does that have to do with his joy being in us and our joy being full? Well, you know, the picture that Jesus draws in John 15 is the vineyard. Believers are the branches. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the vine dresser, the one who cares for the vineyard. And here, he says, is the foundation of our joy in verse 1. God the Father, the creator and sustainer of all the universe, the one who has all power and all authority, the one who has all wisdom and all knowledge of all things, he is the one who is taking care of you and me. So can anything go wrong? Can anything be out from under his control? Can we ever be victims, truly? Can we ever miss something that's important for us? No. He is the vine dresser. He is the one who cares for the vineyard. This almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God. This truth alone, when meditated upon, thought upon, and illuminated in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, this truth alone should be enough to sustain our joy forever. The plans I have for you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Here's the foundation of our joy. If you belong to Jesus, God is caring for you, period. And he will do what is good and right. Verse 2, not only am I the vine and my Father is the vine dresser, but every branch in me, every branch in Jesus, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So God, in his care of his vineyard, of his people, of us, his children, his disciples, he's committed to our being fruitful. He's committed to your life and my life bearing good fruit. Not being a waste, not being just there, but to bear good fruit that will last. You've noticed the big snowstorms in western New York last week along the shores of Lake Erie. 7, 8, 9 feet of snow in the southern townships below Buffalo, New York, along the Lake Erie shoreline. That's a very familiar territory. I grew up in Rochester, New York, four times a year at least. We drive that very route. I've been caught in a snowstorm in the winter along that route. I spent a night in a gymnasium, ate Red Cross food, boarded a bus to get, you know, the whole bit. And all along that area are vineyards. They start a little way south of Buffalo and go all the way down into Pennsylvania along the shore of Lake Erie. And if you go by in the right time of year after the harvest or early in the spring, it is an amazing thing because these vines that were once lush and green in the summer and spring and summer are bare. And they're not only bare, but in the rows between the vines are stacks of sticks and branches. You think, my, they just killed those things. They just took so much off from them. But the next year when you drive by, they're just loaded again. For a vine to bear more fruit, it must be pruned every year. Every year. It's amazing how much each branch can be cut back every year. But once it's been pruned, the quality and the quantity of its production, of its grapes, goes up to a high level and stays there. And God, the Father, who is our vine dresser, prunes us quite regularly, doesn't he? He cuts us back. He shapes us, but he does it in such a way that the quality and the quantity of fruitfulness in our life goes up. And it's more than just maintained. It's increasing as he prunes us back. Pruning hurts. Pruning hurts. Pruning sometimes is very unsettling. But when we see the value of God's working in our hearts, it gives us joy as we go through the process. Why? He wants me to be fruitful. He wants me to bear fruit. He wants you to bear fruit. And down deep in your soul, you, if you belong to Jesus, you want to be a fruitful person. And when you're in the middle of the process of the pruning, the joy comes and you say, oh yeah, that's what's going on here. He's cutting me back. He's shaping me. He's taking me through the valley of the shadow of death. He's doing all kinds of things to make me more fruitful. And as he will say later in John 15, which we won't get to, it's the fruit that remains. He wants our fruit to be lasting and good. That brings joy to our hearts, even in the midst of trial. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Verse 3. Already, Jesus said to his disciples, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Just briefly here, joy rests in our salvation. Jesus has made us clean. He's made us clean. And we don't have to worry about that. You know, in the two chapters earlier in John 13, when Peter had that interaction with Jesus, give me a bath all over. And Jesus said, no, you're already clean. I just need to wash your feet today. He's saying you're secure in Christ. And that in itself brings joy as we rest in the sovereign work in our life. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So to have this kind of joy that Jesus has promised, he says, abide in me, or remain in me. The whole concept of abiding in Christ, of course, is great and vast, but at its heart, it means to listen to Jesus as he speaks to us through his word, to believe what he says, which means we will act upon what he says. It means not wandering away, not being enticed by the deceitfulness of riches or the cares of this world, but putting our roots down deeply in Christ, abiding in him. And he says, if you want joy in your heart, these things I've spoken to you that you may have joy, that your joy may be full, then abide in Christ. Listen day in and day out. Believe what he tells you so that you'll make decisions day in and day out on the basis of what he tells you. And when the temptation comes to wander away, no, remain. Don't wander away. Don't go off there. There's just destruction and heartache and difficulty and problems. You think it's better. It's not. Abide in Jesus. And you'll know his joy day in and day out. Verses 5 and 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. There is great joy that comes when we see the fruit from our life's efforts. To be fruitless, to see our labors and our efforts not bring any results, it's a real joy killer. When you work hard and nothing comes from it, at least it seems that way, man, just drains the joy out of your heart. Drains the happiness, but even deeper, just, God, what's going on here? I just don't understand. But what Jesus promised here is that if we remain in him, if we abide in him and he abides in us, there will be fruit. I think it's a repeated point because he wants us to get it. And when we do see that fruit, which does happen every once in a while, if not often, it does bring real joy. Just a few hours ago, right here, we had the joy of baptizing our newest grandchild. And all kinds of joy goes with that, doesn't it? The joy of a new life and a new birth, child born in the covenant community. The joy of parents who love Jesus and want that for their children. The joy of the fruitfulness of the years of labor of fathers and mothers and God's blessing upon them. My, fruitfulness brings joy deep in our hearts. But as we think about that, it's important to understand that we're not looking for superficial fruit or surface success. We're not looking for head counts and big budgets and beautiful buildings and whatever all else you want to add into that status and prestige. What we're really looking for are the deeper things of God. That's what brings the true joy. When we see him using our labors in the hearts and in the lives of people down deep where they're affected. That's where the true joy comes from. And Jesus said, if we abide in him and he abides in us, that's the kind of fruit that we'll bear in our life. Sometimes you have to dig through to see it, to see the fruit. Sometimes it's you don't see it right away. You don't see it in a way we expect to see it. But it's there. He promised it would be there. And when we see it, it brings that kind of joy. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Joy also comes from praying and seeing God answer. We all know that God hears every prayer of his children. You know that. God hears every prayer of his children. He is not deaf. And that he doesn't hear it. And that he answers every prayer of his children. He answers with a yes. He answers with a no. Or he answers with a wait, right? Wait. But you know, there is great joy in your soul when God answers yes to your prayers. Remember the last time you prayed for something, asked God for something, and you got a yes answer? You remember that? That's great joy. And why is it great joy? Ultimately, it's not because, oh, I got what I wanted from God. That's not what brings great joy. Not really. When you think about it, when you study the Word, you know what it means? It means that you asked for the right thing. You asked for the right thing. Because this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of Him. So if you get a yes, you have asked for the right thing. You have discerned the will of God and prayed that God would do that. And I'll tell you, that brings great joy. Great joy. We've understood what He wanted. It became the desire of our hearts. And so when we asked Him for it, He gave it to us. There is great, deep joy when we know that our hearts and our desires are aligned with God's desires. And when we pray and He says yes, we know we're there. So if you get a no or a later, go back and think about it. Meditate. What am I asking for? Is God doing something different here that I haven't thought about, that I haven't realized? Maybe it exposes wrong motives, wrong desires. Maybe it exposes a lack of discernment. When you get a no or a wait, go back and ask, Lord, help me to understand so I'm asking for the thing that You want to do right here. Sometimes He doesn't tell you. Sometimes He lets you live in a little bit of a mystery because of God's ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. But when you hit it, when you ask the right thing and He says yes, brings great joy because you know that you're aligned with His purposes in your life. Then you will call upon Me and come and pray to Me and I will hear you. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places, and I'll bring you back to a place of great blessing. Verse 9. As the Father has loved Me, so have I loved you. Abide in My love. These things I've spoken to you, that your joy, My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The Father has loved Me so that I have loved you. There's great joy that comes to us when we know that we are loved. Simple to say, but true. Every one of us longs to be loved. When we think that no one truly loves us, there's a deep sadness in our soul. And it lingers when we think no one really loves me. No one truly cares about me. Or if they do, it's just with such a small amount. It's not very satisfying. And that brings deep sadness. People are driven to do crazy things, over-the-top things. People are driven to all kinds of excesses and unwise decisions to try to get love because their soul is so sad. But you know, if you want real joy in your heart, if you want to know the fullness of joy, as Jesus promised, open your eyes, look and see. I have loved you. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That love that sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. When you meditate upon the love of God as lived out in the person and work of Christ, when that sinks into your soul, great joy comes. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, why me? Jesus, you've done something that just has overwhelmed me. Gives me hope and future and eternity, forgiveness, cleansing, all that comes with salvation. You've loved me with an everlasting love. And lastly, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Lastly, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Setting our hearts to keep his commandments, or as we've been singing about today, to live a godly life by the power of his Spirit, abiding in Christ, then the joy of obedience will be ours. The joy of obedience. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, and my joy will be in you, and your joy will be full. It'll be the joy of that well done, good and faithful servant that can come at the end of each day, or as we're so fresh before our minds tonight, that can come at the end of a lifetime. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. At the end of a lifetime, it'll bring great joy. The end of the day, and the end of the life of a lifetime. That we have, by the power of God's Spirit, set our hearts to follow him, to abide in him, and to keep his commandments. Let me just remind you of a few lines of Psalms that we have sung and a couple that we will sing. That man is blessed who does not walk as wicked men advise. That man is blessed who makes the Lord and the Lord's law his delight. Psalm 51, give salvation's joy again. 19, more sweetness far they hold. In keeping them, there is great reward. 119, your testimonies thrill my heart. This lasting heritage is mine. I turn my heart now to your law to keep it till the end of time. To him who fears the Lord, Psalm 25, the path to choose is shown. His soul will have prosperity. The land his seed will own. Or as we'll sing 84, O Lord of hosts, that one is blessed who makes his trust upon you rest. I waited for the Lord. Psalm 40, my lips he gave a song to praise our God. To do your will, O God, is surely my delight. Your law is deep, your law is part of me, set deep within my heart. The joy of the Lord. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let me just read this whole passage now, and follow it with your mind, if not your eyes. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Lord, truly we all long for the joy of the Lord deep in our souls. And we're thankful it's possible. First, because we've been born again. And second, because of all these things we've seen here, Jesus saying to his disciples. So, Lord, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would illuminate our hearts, would convince us deep in our soul of these truths. You would cause us to meditate, to think upon them, to believe what you say, consequently to act upon them, and to experience a great joy that you have given and you make available to your children. And Lord, we do ultimately look forward to what you have for us in eternity. For in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We look forward to it with great anticipation. Bless us, Lord, as we walk with you this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.